Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Tonight. Helping you discover the Twin Cities, it is Radio K's Real College Podcast, online and on the air. My name is Matthew Curtis, and this week we are on the hunt for a good deal. We're glancing through store windows, we're browsing websites, and we're rifling through newspapers for the satisfaction of savings. Frugality is sweet, but are we willing to sacrifice our contributions to small businesses and media creators to achieve it? In these two stories from December 2014, Katie Bolin takes a look at local businesses and their experience with coupons, and Marjorie Otto examines the ethics of pirating. Also, we hear the word on the street with Patrick Sharkey and Radio K's weekly release spotlight. And it all starts right now on Radio K's Real College Podcast. Black Friday, President's Day, Christmas, Cyber Monday, Groupon. You can find a deal virtually anywhere in America. What's happening to small businesses in the culture of these coupons? Producer Katie Bolin has the story.
Aaron Young is a hairstylist who used to work at a salon in Austin, Texas called The Nature Company. One day back in 2011, Aaron's salon manager had a new idea to drum up some business.
We came into work one day and she told us she had run a Groupon.
Okay, this week, Groupon members are going to save 50 to 90% on great daily deals all over town. They're going to discover new restaurants.
Aaron didn't think much of the Groupon deal at first. She had heard about it before and thought it was a cool idea. You buy a coupon online.
Who doesn't cut coupons?
And you cash it in for something like a new blender, half-price sushi, or in Aaron's case, a discounted spa day at the salon.
Maybe you want to sign up for ours. Groupon.com.
Aaron says the Groupon sales rep recommended that the salon keep their deal open instead of limiting the number of deals sold. Aaron says the sales rep told them that hardly anybody buys over a certain amount of deals, and that they would probably only sell a few hundred.
And by the time we got to work the next day, we had sold almost 1,200.
Wait, what?
We had sold almost 1,200, which you would think would be fantastic. However, trying to accommodate that many coupons that we were already basically obliged to, above and beyond what we anticipated, you're like, oh, this is great. We sold all these coupons, so now all these people know about us. But now, how are we going to accommodate them?
Aaron says their Groupon deal was doomed from the start.
We had such a hard time strategizing, scheduling people.
Aaron says the flood of customers mixed with their staff of less than 10 left them with a chaotic salon.
So it wasn't just like a haircut. It was like, you know, cut, color, manicure, pedicure, massage.
Aaron says many customers weren't even willing to commit to their Groupon deal of a full spa day. Many of them tried to split up the services over a few different days, causing even more scheduling conflict and confusion for the salon workers and their regular customers.
So it was literally became physically impossible to actually schedule and strategize, you know, over 1,000 clients with such a small staff.
Aaron says throughout the deal, the staff at the salon were completely overwhelmed.
No, you try not to rush a service, but if you've got 8 people piled up behind that, you're going to try to get people in because primarily you want to provide the service. But then you realize, okay, I'm not going to be able to give this my best. Customers started accusing us of giving us a Groupon level of service.
A Groupon level of service is a phrase you read about a lot in online reviews of the deals.
I should be pretty much VIP when I walk in.
That's Rochelle Shaw. She is a frequent Groupon user. She posted a YouTube video this year describing why she won't return to certain businesses that she visited using Groupon.
Because you never made us feel special. Okay, I understand that we came on a Groupon, but if you don't want Groupon people, then don't run the Groupon.
Even though the small salon was trying to accommodate all the Groupon customers, as well as their regular clients, they couldn't keep up. Angry customers left bad reviews on Yelp, a site that publishes crowdsourced reviews of local businesses. The reviews were so bad that the manager of the nature company had to change the name to Salon O.
And so at that point, because she was changing the name of the company and with all the trouble, it just seemed like too much drama for me. I was like, I just need to be able to go to work, you know, and not have my name affected by this thing.
Erin says the Groupon deal gone wrong hurt more than just the nature salon's name.
It broke me. I left the salon. I actually left the salon and went back to cutting hair independently.
I think businesses are stuck a little bit because they've created a new level of expectation.
That's Luke Cahill. He owns a marketing research company out of Northeast Minneapolis, and he says the recession has a lot to do with America's obsession with getting a deal.
The expectation was, it's going to be on sale, I'm not going to buy it. And so we see that now more than ever. Companies proactively kind of set this new expectation, and consumers have adjusted accordingly. Now the new expectation has set.
Luke says to get customers in the door during the recession, many businesses ran constant deals to try to stay afloat, and as a result, consumers got used to it. Companies like Living Social and Groupon even got their start during the Great Recession, when finding a deal was really important to the average American. But what about now?
Ultimately, if there is a way to combat it, it's coming up with products that are, or services that are so appealing that price doesn't matter. That's obviously the sweet spot. But I think it's less in their control and more in the consumer's control in terms of when they're able to revert, if they're even able to revert.
As the economy rebounds, it might take a while for small businesses to wean consumers off the deals they've grown used to. As for the future of companies like Groupon, Erin says they've got some work to do, too.
Of course, that's their business model, is to look for smaller businesses and try to boost their income. But I feel like perhaps Groupon itself is not being responsible in who they're reaching out to. So it seems like, yeah, on the consumer end, people love it. And on the business end, it seems like there's a lot of hindsight, like, oh, maybe we didn't have to go that route.
For Culture Q, I'm Katie Bolin.
For Radio K and the Real College Podcast, it's Word on the Street. Courtney Barnett makes the trip all the way from her Australian home to play two shows this week at First Ave in the main room on Tuesday the 26th and Wednesday the 27th. Barnett's 2015 release, Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit, was widely considered one of the best records released last year, and it would serve you well to check out one, if not both, of these shows. This is her song, Dead Fox.
Never having too much money, I get the cheap stuff at the supermarket, but they're all pumped up with shit. A friend told me that they stick nicotine in the apples.
Saul Williams and the Mivos Quartet is playing at the James J. Hill Library on Tuesday, April 26th. I imagine the set will be a little more subdued than the typical Saul Williams show, which is a good enough reason for me to spend the $15 to see him perform in such a different venue. The show starts at 6:30, and this is his song, List of Demands. Beach Slang is back in town to play at the Triple Rock Monday, April 25th. They'll be stopping by as part of their spring tour with Potty Mouth and Dyke Drama. Tickets are $15 at the door and doors open at 6 o'clock. I highly recommend you go see this Philly-based band on Monday.
Yeah,
Intuit Over It will be here 1 week from today, Sunday, May 1st at the Triple Rock. The band is touring off their newly released album, Standards. This song is Vis Major and sounds a lot like a Love Car song, which is always a good thing. The show is all ages and $15. That's all for this week's Word on the Street. Be sure to check out these shows and all the other great shows going on in the cities this week. For more information, check out RadioK.org. And for Radio K and the Real College Podcast, I'm Patrick Sharkey, and thanks for listening.
Ways to get music today. There's iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, physical copies. Another method, downloading without paying. And this is a popular method for cash-strapped college students. In this story, Marjorie Otto examines if there's an issue with the morality when it comes to how we source our tunes.
I've noticed recently that it seems as though everyone has their own way to get music, and a lot of people have strong opinions on how they get it, especially when it comes to paying versus not paying for music. It's kind of like everyone has their own moral code for it. So I was curious to see if there is some kind of morality to how we source our music.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Jeremy Fine. I am the Associate Rabbi at Temple of Aaron.
I asked him how he defined morality.
So I think morality has to do with how we not only treat people, I guess there's three levels, how we treat ourselves, how we treat the people around us, both our loved ones and our general friends and community, but also how we also view how our lives play into the general existence of the world. So what we do and decisions that might impact us positively, if they're affecting the world negatively, that also plays a role.
To really know what morality means, I spoke with someone whose job it is to think about morality on a daily basis.
For example, in Judaism, we have keeping kosher, right? And keeping kosher is a checking point for what are we putting into our body. It's not necessarily a better diet. It does, and a lot of people don't even do it because they feel it was ordained by God, but they do it as, I'm even going to check what goes into my system.
I found his kosher idea to be analogous with responsibly sourcing what goes into our ears.
My brain. My life is gone.
To find out how others get their music and how that impacts an artist, I spoke with avid music listeners and musicians Carl, Sylvan, Evan, and Zach, who have a band named Wicked Tamazusa.
Honestly, if I can't find it readily, I'm going to torrent that.
So, me, I'm in a weird position where I'm using Pandora a lot.
I only buy vinyl and use CDs.
I pay $9.99 for Google Play.
And the general consensus of the group and the reasoning behind why they choose the methods that they choose. They all seem mostly concerned about getting money directly to the artist. Here's Sylvan.
When I download music for free, I feel like I'd rather just, instead of buying the album, which I kind of feel guilty about because like this money is going to the corporations, not all the people, I'd rather just download all the albums for free and then send a check to the band, just straight to the band, so they get the money because they're the ones who made the music.
And Zach.
I kind of view downloading music as kind of like a screen. Like, I download music and I find what I like, and if I like them, I'll go to your show, and I'll pay to see your show, and I'll give you money that way.
I also asked them, as a band, what their thoughts were on how people get their music and how it affects them.
I would be honored if someone felt the need to pirate it.
I mean, that would make my day.
As an unknown, as a tiny group, you just want anybody and anybody to hear your music and go, hey, that's cool.
So have we reached a definitive answer about the morality of how we source our music? Not really. Not this time. But it's a start. For Culture Q, I'm Marjorie Otto.
And that concludes this week's Real College Podcast. Thank you to Patrick Sharkey, Katie Boleyn, and Marjorie Otto for contributing to this week's show. Our producers are Max Fuller, Patrick Sharkey, Jackie Renzetti, and David Lean. Our managing editor is me, Matthew Curtis, and you can find us on RadioK.org, iTunes, and on Sundays at 6 p.m. on Radio K. To play us out as our weekly release spotlight for Radio K, Something More Holy, the latest EP from LA-based Minneapolis-raised producer and songwriter Morley. I was actually lucky enough to see her perform recently, and I am very pleased to play this exciting artist. To read a write-up of the album and download a free track, head on to RadioK.org. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund, and thank you for listening.
want you, and I don't need you, no.
Won't you give my eye?